Amen. Well, the Lord's good. We say hujambo from Kenya. Greetings from all of the precious brethren over on that side, and they send their greetings to you. And you know, we got precious brethren on both sides of that little pond called the Atlantic. Praise God. And so just glad to be back home. It's hard to believe. We were gone for almost a year this time. I think we left like August 31st of last year. And again, it's amazing how quickly time goes by, you know, and all of these things. And so, we keep up pretty well with all of the different happenings here, through the different reports we get from Jeff and Ron and the other guys. And so, although we're not always here, we're very much here. And, it's always good to come home and come home to our family. And of course, for some of us, we've known each other a real long time. If the Ancient of Days, Pastor Gardner, was here this evening, you know, I've shared before, he was my Sunday school teacher when I was, I think it was maybe 10 years of age, back in 1968. I'm only 35. So, you know, our math is a little different over on that side than over here. But anyway, we are very glad to be home once again and just to, you know, be a part of what God is doing here. And like I said, we've certainly been hearing the testimonies, a lot of good reports of what the Lord's been doing in our midst here and in your lives, and miracles and trials and tribulations and the different things that different ones of you have been going through. And, you know, we've had people over there praying and believing the Lord as well. We're believing for a miracle in Ann's body. And the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I haven't been around her a whole lot, but you get around her just a little bit and you get encouraged and strengthened. Amen? That's what happens when you move in faith. In affliction, you become fruitful. And that's what God is able to do. So anyway, we're glad to be here. My beautiful wife is back there, Mildred. How many of you guys have seen Mildred? How many of you have talked to Mildred since she's been back? You know, she has a way. She just, you know, she just has a gift in being able to do that. And anyway, it's just been very exciting how the Lord's been able to work in our lives and in our marriage, and just how adaptable she is. You know, some of you remember the first year we came back, and in the dead of winter, I guess it was, or maybe the second, I can't remember which one it was, but you know, like a day after we got here, we got hit with this huge blizzard. And it was just so humorous to see Mildred with all of her bundles of clothes out there, you know, shoveling the parking lot, you know. And I had the harder job. I had to use the snowblower out in the parking lot, you know. I can't remember who was that got the picture. At one point, I got the snowblower right next to her, and I turned the chute right over on her. So that was... I'm pretty sure she's forgiven me for that, praise God. But anyway, we just thought we'd just bring you good news from a far country this evening. Is that okay? Just boast in the Lord and just, you know, just a few of the things that Father's been doing over there. I know the missions team was over just a short time ago, and, you know, the blessing that they were to us, and the testimonies that they brought back. So we'll just, you know, we'll just share a few things with you this evening, but the work is going on very well, praise God, because it's on the rock. You know, it's on the Word of God. And so we're just seeing a lot of positive things that are happening in the churches and the lives of the pastors. And, you know, those of you who've been over there and those of you who got to travel to some of these other churches this time around, you know, you got a little bit more of a perspective and a taste of just the hardness of life and the difficulties and, poverty. And of course, you know, we had a major political crisis this time last year. We had two elections in 3 months in an African country and the country's still together. Praise God. You can't do those things. And the nation remained intact. And so literally we had two elections within the space of 2 months. And, you know, if you've ever looked at African politics or anything, elections are the most dangerous time in a nation. And it was looking pretty bad. I mean, you know, I can remember the one day where, just outside of the main gate of the estate that we live on, I mean, live gunfire, tear gas canisters, you know, you had to make sure everything was closed up in the house because the tear gas was coming your direction. I think on that day alone, I think there were a couple hundred people that were killed in Nairobi. And so, you just don't take for granted those types of things. You know, we've still got, as much as there have been challenges in this country, there's still a degree of stability in this nation. But you get into some of these African countries and it just doesn't take much for this thing to go south really fast. And so we believe that the Lord really intervened in all of this. And so, you know, again, just things that you kind of take for granted. And we don't have that luxury over there. And so there's just an awareness of your prayers and you standing with us. And again, it's, when the missions team came over, I can't remember exactly how many miles we covered, but I would say we probably covered somewhere between 600 and 700 miles that we drove with the missions team on those highways through a lot of Kenya. And the Lord watched over us and protected us and had no issues. I mean, to have a missions team come over and really have no issues in an African country, it just doesn't happen that way, you know. And again, we just give God the glory for those types of things because we know that you were praying and people there were praying. And so we saw the hand of God in all of those things. The little things that you just can't take for granted that you can see the touch of the Lord in those types of things. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was going to Ezekiel. I'm going to have to go long. I'm going to go all the way around to get to 2 Timothy from Ezekiel. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes you can just kind of run over something and miss it. Be strong in the grace of God. Amen. That's, you know, that's where our strength is. That's what the Lord said to Paul. My grace is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. It is enough in all of these things. And so Paul was encouraging Timothy. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then verse 2, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You guys have probably never heard that verse before. You've probably never seen it. I don't know when it became just the foundation for our ministry as far as just you know, us repeating it, and, you know, I'd probably be 30 years ago, maybe back in the 80s, early 90s. But I mean, it has really become the foundation of who we are as a ministry. Commit to faithful men who can teach others. And that verse alone has brought a lot of guidance and has brought a lot of direction over the years in Kenya. Because you know what? There's a lot of unfaithful people over there. And there's a lot of unfaithful pastors over there. And this mandate has really helped to keep us on course as a ministry. Commit to faithful men. And that's what we've been looking for. And that's what we've been committing to. Faithful pastors. Men that have a heart for God, love the Lord Jesus, hunger for the Word of God, and taking a stand for the sake of the gospel. You know, probably the biggest reproach in Kenya today are Pentecostal churches. It is just very sad to see the state, the church in general, but Pentecostal churches specifically, just the corruption, the adultery, the fornication, the covetousness, just very bad reputation. And in the midst of all of that, we got some faithful shepherds, man. We got men that love God, love the flock of God, that are willing and have been paying the price in following the Lord. And if you're going to be a true shepherd, there's a real price to be paid. Amen. I mean, we know what we have here and Pastor Scott and his faithfulness and the men that are on staff here. And, you know, to have pastors who really love you and really care for you and are not after numbers. And I, you know, over the years, I don't know how many times Pastor Scott has spoken to myself and Forb, and just, you know, that aspect, we don't care about numbers. We want faithful men. We want churches that are going to be able to grow strong. And that's what we're seeing in this hour. And some of you, you know, who got to come over on this year's mission, you know, you've been able to get into these churches. And you know, it used to be many years ago, we had baby Christians in our churches, but now when you get into our main churches, there's a core of mature believers in those churches, man. You know, people that have been through wars and battles and, you know, just some of the persecutions that we've had in Kenya over the last 15 years. And there's now a core of people who know how to believe God, and they've been through the battles and they've been through the wars and they're still standing. And you got families that have been added into the church, and there's a generation that's being raised up, praise God. Everything that we've heard for 40 years here, you know, as you come over, you're beginning to see, you know, you're not just beginning, because some of you say when you come over, this is just like home, you know. This is the same spirit and the love of God and the people of God. And again, that's just a testimony to you and your faithfulness. And when you guys come over on the missions trips, and how many of you have been to Kenya at this point? Raise your hands. Everybody who's been to Kenya, hold your hands up. You guys pray for Deborah. We're trying to get her over there. How many of you would like to go to Kenya? Hold your hands up. Who haven't been? Some of you already, I want to go again. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, see what the Lord will do. But, and I know certainly if we had everybody here, there's a large percentage of you who have now been able to come over and, you know, touch it and taste it and smell it. I always tell people, you know, when I come back over here, I really struggle with clean air when I come back to Sterling. My lungs just can't acclimate, You know, when you're used to just sucking in pollution and dust day in and day out, and, you know, well, I won't go any further. There's, but you've been able to experience some of it. And those of you who haven't been over, you know what? You just pray for us. And I know that's what you've been doing and supporting us. And again, as missionaries, you know, I talked to some other missionaries at different times and, you know, the way that we are taken care of is just, you know, you just don't see it. You just don't see missionaries that are as well taken care of as we are. You know, we can come back and be able to get refreshed and get strengthened and don't have to be running from church to church and trying to raise support and raise money so we can go back. You know, we can just come here and hang out with you guys. Amen. And you know, Mildred gets to go and she teaches up in the children's ministry you know, I'd like to hear some of the stories that your kids come home and tell you about my wife. Some of the stories that she loves the children, has a heart for kids and you know, Mildred is such a blessing, not only to me, but also for our ministry because having been born in Kenya, by the way, she's an American citizen now. Hallelujah. You know. So, we're still working on trying to get her to like cheese. You guys pray for her. And those there. She's told me when you start eating liver, I'll start eating cheese. So we are betwixt ourselves. You know, there's no way that we're going to cross over. I remember many years ago. And some of you, this one's really going to date some of you. How many of you went with me on a missions trip when I was the missions pastor here? How many of you went with me on a missions trip? Oh, I remember Jim Kane. All right. And you know, one of the things that we said was basically, you know, we're going in there and these churches we're ministering at, you know, they're giving us their best. And, you know, whatever they set before us, you know, we just eat it and give thanks. And two things I hate. I hate the devil. But liver and intestines. And both of those things are very prolific over there. So we went on a mission to a place called Marilal. And I mean, it was one of those places where at one point, it was about a 10 to 12 hour journey. And at one point, we wanted to stop and go to the bathroom and one of the pastors who was with us, one of the local pastors said, you don't want to stop here. He said, there's bandits that come over those hills. You want to keep on going, you know, so we didn't stop there. Then there's other places that you would have wanted to stop. No, there's lions over there, so you don't want to. So everybody's eyes are turning yellow, you know, by the time. You know, and of course the one place we stayed on that journey, about 12 o'clock at night, you hear all of this laughter outside. And it was hyenas. You know, they're, you think you got a problem with cats. You try hyenas. And then, so you got hyenas crawling, and then, you know, who got me started on these stories? It was funny because we asked this pastor now, because we knew we were in lion country, so we stayed at this one church. And, I asked the question, I said, so when do the lions come out? She said about 2 o'clock in the morning. So you're thinking, these guys keep time? There's no one in Kenya that keeps time. The lions keep time. So we go to bed. And you got to understand, they had a perimeter fence around where the house was. Okay, there was a perimeter fence. And the fence was good. But where there was supposed to be a gate, there was no gate. And the outhouse, and that's, and I'm being very kind when I say that. And the outhouse was on the outside of the perimeter fence. So at about 1:55 in the morning, I wake up and I need to go outside. And I'm remembering at 2:00 the lions are going to be out there. So as you can see, they didn't eat me. So anyway, getting on to the next story about the liver and the intestines. You know, we got to this church and they wanted to give us their best. And they served us these bowls of food, and in the bowl was not liver, not intestines, liver and intestines. In the same bowl. And, you know, it's funny how your prayer life intensifies when you pray over the food at a moment like that. And my only prayer, I don't think I gave thanks. I'm confessing, I don't think I gave thanks for it. I just said, Lord, help me to keep it down. And so when we finished praying, I was on a mission. And I took the spoon and I, you know, you try to block it out and you just put it in. It's like Survivor. You know, some of those Survivor shows and those guys, you know, you just shove it in and eat it. And my brother-in-law, it's funny when I tell people who my brother-in-law is. You guys, some of you know Fred Mamba. He started trying to joke with me. And I looked over and I said, not now. And then what's funny is everybody that's sitting, they know I hate intestines and I hate liver. They're texting everybody back in the Emoji Church. You won't believe what Pastor Rob is doing. He's really eating all of that stuff. So when I got back, I was a hero. Praise God. So the interesting thing on that story, I ate all of it. It all stayed down. No problem. On the third day of our mission there, these same people who were very gracious to give us this food, and they gave us their best, they had served us goat on like a Friday, and they served us goat on Saturday, and they served us goat on Sunday. So on Sunday when they served us the goat, we ate it. Most of us did. My wife gave me hers. She thought she was being kind to me. And that night, almost all of us got sick, except my wife. Because what we didn't know was the goat that they had given us on Friday had been hanging in a metal building on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where the temperatures are like 90 to 100 degrees. So needless to say, God is good all the time. And then what made it bad was the next day we're all sick and we've got to travel 12 hours and there was only one driver. And by the grace of God, we all made it. So anyway, how'd you guys already get me off on a story like that, man? We're on 2 Timothy chapter 2, committing to faithful men. And then as it says there, who can teach others? Who can teach their congregations? Amen? Committing to pastors, faithful pastors who can be able to take this word and get it to the ground in the lives of their people. And you know, a lot of what Forb and I are doing over there, and again, I just very thankful for Forb and Ruth and, you know, just what they are to the ministry in Kenya and certainly what they are to myself and Mildred, you know, over all these years of being able to work with them. What's funny is, and again, I know it dates Forb. You know, we started out together 30-something years ago in the second floor office at the White House, not on Pennsylvania Avenue. You guys remember the one that was right out there. And we shared an office at that time. And there's a lot of stories we can tell from that time. And of course, there's a lot more that we can tell today of, things that we've gone through together. And we didn't plan it. We weren't looking for it. But for some reason, for a lot of years, the Lord has stuck us. Well, the Lord has placed us together. And just very thankful for Forbes' wisdom and his input and just all that they bring to the ministry there in Kenya. And again, a few years ago, some of the health issues that Forbes was dealing with, and you just see, again, just the testimony of Father's grace in his life and what God's been able to do. And, you know, there was a point where we didn't know if he could go back. And now just to see what the Lord's been able to do and how effective he is, how good his health is, you know. Some of you are going to be very surprised when you see him this time. If he stands to the side, you won't see him. I'll leave it at that. But the Lord's been able to do a lot of good things and just health-wise, and I don't know how many miles he's walking every day. But you know, there's a good momentum that is working in his life, and so again, who would have ever thought that he and I would end up in Kenya? You know, and I've shared before, it was never in my heart in the earlier years when I was a missions pastor here and traveling into China and different places. Africa was never on my list of places I ever wanted to go to. And yet by the Lord's workings, that's where we've now been. This is now 14 years that we've been down in Kenya, and it's home. And when I say it's home, you can have the nation. You can have all of the corruption and the chaos and all of those things. The only thing that makes it home is the will of God and the people of God. And that's what we love, is being with the people of God. And again, being able to commit, as we're saying here, to faithful men. You know, our primary responsibility is not even the churches. Our primary responsibility is the pastors. In a lot of ways, what we're doing is being pastors to these pastors. And being able to help these men in regards to their families, their marriages, and certainly in being able to build the church and to build strong churches. And we're available at any time for counsel for any of our pastors. They know that. You know, I think we've shared with you before, I generally do the traveling. Pastor Scott doesn't want Forbes doing much traveling. A couple weeks before we came back, we went on a mission of about 800 miles that we drove over about a 4-day period and, visiting our churches, visiting Pastor Forbes, going all the way up to the border to one of our churches called Malaba, which is way up on the Ugandan border with Pastor Philip. And then the next day we crossed over into Uganda, went over and visited with Pastor Agesa in our church there called Bachunya. I always joke with the people at the church there because I'll say, "We're so glad to be in Bachunya." Excuse me. So they get a kick out of that. But, you know, we're able to get over there and again, it's always interesting when you cross from one African border to another African border. But that's a lot of what we do on a monthly basis. We're normally taking at least one mission each month to be able to visit our churches, visit our pastors, strengthen the pastor, whatever we can do to bring ministry there in the church. And you have a lot to do with that, because someone has to pay for the fuel. Someone has to pay for the vehicle. Someone has to pay for the insurance. Someone has to pay for where we stay at. And that's what we always share with the people over there, as we're encouraging these people. And this is part of what we do also. We make it very clear to our churches and to our congregations, it's not our job to support your pastor. He's your pastor. He's your responsibility to bring support to him. And I said, the reason why I've been able to come and visit you and bring ministry to you is because faithful members at our headquarters church, faithful members, honor the Lord. And they give their tithes and they give their offerings. And because of their faithfulness, we're able to come and bring ministry to you. That's how it's supposed to work. And the great thing is we're really beginning to see Father begin to work in these areas. And, you know, for years now, most of, if not all of our churches are self-supporting. It's just been exciting for me. Even just a few weeks ago, Pastor Peter in Kwanjenga. Where's Kwanjenga? Don't say Kenya. That's the gift. Nairobi, yeah. So two churches in Nairobi. What are they? What's one? Kwanjenga and Umoja. Very good. Okay. And both of these churches are relatively close to where we live at. Where we live, some of you have now been to our home. We actually back up to what's called a region that's pipeline, which is actually part of Kwanjenga. And you know, as we shared before, Kwanjenga is a slum church, and we were able to take some of the youth this time when they came over and took them down on a little tour of Kwanjenga. I'm sure it's something they'll never forget. You know, when you got raw sewage right outside of the church doors and illegal electrical connections. I can still remember whenever it's raining and you see smoke coming out of the ground, don't step on that place, because that's a live wire that is under the ground. And I think it was it last year, I think it was, that a cow stepped on a live wire and was killed. I think some of the people were rejoicing at that point. But continually you got live wires. Can you imagine having live electrical wires and you have metal buildings? I mean, that's what they have. And that's the reason why you have so many people that are being electrocuted. But what I was getting ready to say, Pastor Peter just spoke to me just a few weeks ago. And again, the Lord's just doing great things in our churches. He just said, Pastor, he said, I just want to let you know, our giving is just continually increasing in a slum area. And he just said the way that people are giving, he just said, what a blessing it is. And I remember last year when he actually came to me, he said, you know, one of the best things that you ever did for our church is when you guys stopped giving us support. Thank you. You don't have too many pastors who thank you for cutting off all support. But that's exactly what he said. He said, thank you for what you did. He said, it has taken our church to a new level, and a church that is very much a giving church now. And Father's beginning to prosper. You know, I remember again way, way back when we were first starting out here, and many of you didn't have much, and many of you were struggling and trying to make ends meet and all of these types of things. And again, just through the ministry of the Word of God and obedience to what God has required of us, we see where you are today, how the Lord has blessed and Father has prospered. And we're seeing the same thing in our churches now in Kenya. People who are committed and doing the Word of God, and you can see again strength that is coming into the church, and that includes even in their giving. You know, the Umoja Church right now has shilling wise, that would be 7 million shillings. They have $70,000 now saved up that they've been saving over the years. That's a good amount of money for a congregation like that. And just over the years, they've been faithful, and Ben's been very diligent. Pastor Ben's been very diligent and just a good steward of the Lord's money and setting monies aside. The biggest challenge in Emoji, I'm sure you've heard about it, is finding legitimate land. Land that doesn't have 8 other owners to it. Because there is such a degree of corruption even in what they call the lands office. And you could have 5, 6 title deeds that different people have. Can you imagine buying a piece of property, putting up a building, thinking you have the original title deed, only to learn that yours is nothing more than another copy? And here's the real owner over here, and he wants you to tear the building down, and he wants you to get off. We came this close last year to that. And we had done due diligence, had researched, examined, you know, to the nth degree, and everything was looking good on a piece of property for the Emoji Church. Finally, we thought we had something. And I kind of liken it to, if you've ever had like a thread in your shirt or your trousers or something, and you think it's a short thread, and you think, I'll just pull it and that'll be it. And you start pulling and pulling. Well, that's kind of what Pastor Ben found. There was just a little thing, didn't think it was a very big thing, and then as he began to examine, it just started going deeper and deeper and deeper, and then who we thought were the original owners were not the owners that we were buying this from. And even the ministry here was prepared to be able to come in and help in putting the building, and we could have lost a lot of money. And, you know, the ministry in Emoji could have lost all of their money and had nothing to show for it. And so, just very thankful for the wisdom of God. And again, the Lord has protected us countless number of times. You know, and I don't want to go too far down into the corruption side of things, but corruption is all levels of society in Kenya. And, just the last couple of weeks, we saw different situations where, as public transport drivers were paying bribes to police officers, you know, they wouldn't even do it in secret. They just walk right over and hand the policeman the money and get in their vehicle and they go. Because it's that blatant in all aspects of society, whether it is in water, electricity, police, government offices. You know, a few years ago we had changed our name to Calvary Assembly. Real mistake that we had made, but we had done it years ago, and about 3 years ago, Pastor Scott just said, we need to get the name changed back to Calvary Temple. And that was 3 years ago. And from day one that we went into that office, those people wanted us to pay a bribe to be able to just do a name change and some other things that needed to be done. And because we wouldn't do it, they began to oppose us. 2 years ago, we again tried to do this name change, and where I'd gone in the first year, I thought, let Pastor Ben go in and deal with these people. And as soon as they saw him, they said, are you with that Mzungu? The white man that was here last year? Because the Lord really delivered us the year that I had gone in because of what they were trying to do. And then again this year, we tried the same thing, going in and the opposition. We actually had somebody who had been working in those offices who was now on the outside. And he started running into opposition and all these types of things. He said, what is going on with your ministry? Is there somebody that doesn't like you? No, we don't have anybody, do we? And the fact is, those government officials didn't like us because we wouldn't pay the bribe. And what's sad is in that office, that's an office that all the pastors in the nation, if they're going to register their work, they have to go in there. And it was very obvious that the majority of those pastors pay the bribes. And because the argument is, that's the way we do things. And we tell our pastors, that's not the way Christians do things. We tell the truth. We don't pay bribes. And even this year, as we were again trying to get our name change, and we had filed documents for the name change and everything, and documents disappeared out of the file. And then we came in and we replaced those documents because we had photocopies. Within 4 days, those copies disappeared out of the files. To make a long story short, we got our registration. We got the name change. And the good thing is, the real testimony is, our hands are clean. Our hearts are clean. We didn't do what everybody else does, because that's how you do things. We trusted the Lord, and God made a way for us. And that's just part of what you have to contend with. You know, one of those things, it doesn't matter where you go to, all of the world lies in the evil one. And you got the issues that you have to face here in this culture, and the compromises and these types of things. But, you know, just these things give you at least a little bit of an idea of what the churches and what the Christians have to deal with over there, because everything's based on corruption. Everything's based upon bribery. And that's not who we are. And that's not what we stand for. And that's part of what Forbes and I are doing. We're trying to help our pastors to be able to grow stronger, to be able to stand, not to compromise. We're building faith in our pastors so they can build faith in their churches. So that whether we are there or not, and, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen in this political crisis. You know, whether we'd have to pull out of there. But the fact is, we have churches there now that can be able to stand. They're not built on a man. They're not built on anything else except the Word of God. And we have pastors that are strong, and they're paying the price. Man, you hear some of the stories of what our pastors are having to endure and what they're going through for their stand for Jesus Christ culturally. You know, the different tribes have different cultures, and these men are having to stand against that. I think we call that not being conformed to the world. Amen. You know, it's kind of like if somebody came up and pushed you. You know, if you ever had somebody who just got in your face and just started pushing you. That's the world. That's the world every day. Pushing you. Now, what do we need to do? What would you do in the natural? If somebody came up and pushed you, what would you do? You push them back. And that's the same thing that we're having to stand against as Christians, whether it's there or it's here, to push back against the world, because the world is constantly trying to come in. Yeah, I know what some of you would do. It would not be a push. Okay? I know what some of you are smiling about. But you know what? How many of us are allowing the world to push us, to conform us to its image? And constantly, tomorrow when you get out and you go on the job or wherever you go to, you're going to have to continue to take that stand. I am not of this world. I'm not of this kingdom. And we have to continue to take that stand upon the Word of God. And it's no different there than it is here. And that's what we're trying to help our pastors to be able to do. Certainly, it was a great blessing when the missions team came over in May, and again, just the life that you guys are able to bring when you come over and you visit our churches, and the strength that you bring, and the encouragement. And you know, again, when you look at, you know, in our main churches, like in Eldoret, Kwanjango, Umoja. Those people took off of work for 3 days, 4 days to be with the missions team. It's one thing to take off of work when you got a little bit of money in the bank. It's another thing to take off of work when you don't have any money and you live day to day and you trust God and you take that kind of stand. And that's what you got to see. Because when you look at the responses of the people in Nairobi, good number of people that were there for everything on those days. Because those people are willing to trust God. That God's going to provide for them as they honor the Lord in these types of things. And so, certainly the message that was brought was dead on. You know, the message of humility. The ministry that it brought to the people there. The need in this hour for true humility, true dependence upon the Lord, man, just, you know, being able to see ourselves for who we are. And again, your ministry was very powerful. Just the last few weeks ago, I was sitting with some of the people over there, and they were still talking about the ministry that you brought individually to the churches. Your example, your vulnerability, and the impact that that is continuing to make in their lives. And so, you know, some of you've already moved on. Well, you know, that was a couple of months ago, and today you're doing whatever, you're back in America. But understand, what you did at that time is having a lasting impact. It's still going on. And I understand you've come back and you're back to life in America and these types of things. But don't minimize the contribution of what God was able to do through willing vessels. And the impact of what they see in all of your lives. It's one thing to see it in, like, Pastor Jeff. But to see it in the members of the church and the life of God and the humility and the vulnerability, those things have had a tremendous impact on their lives. And so, Don't minimize what God was able to do through you. You may think, oh, it was nothing big. What did I do? I think we're going to be really surprised when we get to heaven on some of those things that we thought was so minimal and very little impacting. And I think we're going to find out that God's accounting is a little bit different than our accounting is. And certainly very glad that you guys got to go visit couple of the other churches this time. The churches that we've really seen a lot of good growth in every way. The church in Batula and the church in Usenge. And that would be Pastor Francis and of Batula. And Batula would be somewhere like between Eldoret and Lake Victoria. It would be near Kakamega. I know some of you think, Pastor, that doesn't help me a bit. Google it. Hey, I can't tell you how many times Google has got us to our destination in Kenya. Even in the middle of nowhere. It is amazing. That woman, she's up there someplace. There's dirt roads. There's no signs. You're in the middle of nowhere. And she, you know, and she's got a British accent. Turn, you know, turn right here, turn left there. And she does pretty good. There's only been a couple of times you thought she must have been drinking the night before or something. But other than that. But anyway, these two churches that over the last few years, man, we've just seen Father doing great things in both of them. You know, the Batula Church. Pastor Francis, he took over that church about 5 years ago from one of our other pastors. And when he took over, the church was in disarray, chaos. If there was ever a title that this fit, it probably would have been in this church, Demon Deacons. And they seem to have been over in this church at that time. And really, when he took over, just the adversarial spirit that was in some of these people to try and destroy this ministry. I think you guys know something about some of that. And yet what's happened out of all of that, this church has grown. Francis, again, you just appreciate his spirit. He's only been with us for about 5 or 6 years. But the spirit that he moves in, just a zeal for God and a zeal for the people of God. You know, we talked to him last year about a children's ministry and having space for a children's ministry. His people put up a building. You know, they didn't wait for us to come and do something for them, and some of you got to see it. They came in, those people, he got architectural plans that I just thought, wow, this is in Kenya. Beautiful architectural plans. They put the building up. Very nice building. Very nice structure. There was nothing of waiting for somebody else to come and do it for them or any of these types of things. They trusted God and they did this. And today their church is one of our largest churches in Kenya. They've got probably about 100 adults and probably just as many kids. A church of probably about 200 people in that church. And they've had their share of persecution. They've had their share of opposition. But he just got another spirit, man. He just got a spirit that's after God and hungry for the Lord and wants to do the word of God. And that's the same thing for Pastor Zadok and Usenge. Same kind of spirit. Their church, and those of you who were there, their church is right on the lake, Lake Victoria. If you go past this church, then you'll be in the lake. I mean, that's where you're headed to. Same thing. It's a church that is growing. It's a church that has experienced a lot of persecution. It's a church that's very much involved in evangelism. That church has one of the highest percentages of men as of any of our churches. It's like 50% of the church is men. They have men's meetings, I think, every Tuesday night. They get together with the men. Regular outreach, discipleship. I mean, it's a blessing to see this being duplicated. Commit to faithful men who are teaching others. Can you say praise the Lord? You know, 17, 18 years ago, we had nothing in Kenya. And today, we've got life. And we've got strength. And we've got maturity. And it's because of your faithfulness. It's because of, you know, we know him as Pastor Scott here. He's known as Apostle Scott over there. And a true apostle that we have in the man of God that we see every week here, and the impact that pastors had in our churches over there. And of course, he's on television now. He's been on television for a while, over on that side. And again, just the ministry that's coming forth. We need to continue to pray for him. Amen. Just that Father will continue to strengthen him and uphold him through all of the opposition and all of the persecution that's been coming. You know, as we all know, Satan doesn't like what we're doing. And because of that, he's going to oppose, he's going to fight, he's going to try and tear down, he's going to try and destroy. And yet everything that we've seen over the years, and I think just an encouragement to us in these areas, because there's always a danger for us as Christians. We can go one of two directions. One is you just become overcome with fear and anxiety and worry through all of this, and that's not good. And the other side of it is, well, we've been through this so many times, what's going to happen? Right? That's a very dangerous thing because, well, we've gone all these years and these people have been trying to tear us down and nothing's ever happened and we're okay. That's presumption. We need to stay in faith. Don't get anxious. Don't become fearful. Don't allow worry to be able to come in. But don't go over on the other side and think, they've been trying to do this for years and where's it gotten them? Our faith is the victory. And this is where we have to stay through all of these things. And don't take for granted any of these things that are happening. But to be able to continue to stay in faith and take heed to the admonitions that have been coming in these areas, and not allowing bitterness to come in, and praying for your enemies, and just continuing to stand on the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. How powerful is this word? It saves you. Amen? That's how powerful the word of God is. And that same word is still working every day, if we'll believe it. The power of that word still being able to work. And so just, you know, just a challenge to us in these areas. And since we're in 2 Timothy anyway, why don't you look over at chapter 1? And I think just a reminder to us in this area, chapter 1, 2 Timothy, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given to us His power, His love, and a sound mind. You see, Timothy was drawing back. A few verses down, Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed of what I'm going through. You know, there was a warning to this pastor to take heed in this area. And in a day of great anxiety, worry, stress, we're not immune from those things in ourselves. But it's obvious God never wants you to be afraid. God never wants you to worry. God doesn't want you to be stressed. There's a peace and a rest for the people of God. He said, I haven't given you this. You've not been given a spirit of fear, but you've been given power and love and a sound mind. And in a day of great anxiety and worry, drive it out. The Bible says fear has torment. Anxiety is fear. Worry is fear. Stress is fear. It's not God's will for His people to be living in that. You remember when Jesus was in the back of the boat and they were stressed and worried, Lord, don't you care what's happening? And he said, don't be afraid, O ye of little faith. You see, those two things don't go together. When fear is beginning to operate, faith can't operate in that. That's little faith. When you're allowing fear to dominate your life, that's little faith. God wants us to grow in faith. God wants us to get stronger. And being able to stand against fear and see it for what it is. Remember what happened to the children of Israel? They didn't go into the land because they were afraid. They were afraid. And all God said was, trust in me. Trust in me. Don't be afraid. Trust in me. And if that fear's got a hold in your heart, man, repent of it. Give no place to it. Isn't that what the Lord said in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Don't allow that thing to take hold. We have control over it. Amen? We have control over fear. And it doesn't matter whether it's related to sickness, your job, money, life, tomorrow. God's given us a weapon to be able to use against it. You know what that weapon is? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's in control. And that's where we can rest at. He's in control. And we can rest in that if we'll choose to do it. So instead of being anxious and worried and caught up, because this is where I live at. I live in worry and those types of things. I have to battle it on a regular basis, you know. But when you really think about it, how much of our worry is just based on me having things go my way? Right? That's really what I'm worried about. I'm anxious and I'm worried because there's a course that I want this to go. And I'm worried it's not going to go the way that I want it to go. And we get stressed and anxious, and then we get irritable and angry, and we say sharp words and all of these things because we're trying to control the situation. And God said, He's Lord. He's Lord. That means He's in control. And if we can again just come to that place, because we all know that in the days that are to come, things are not going to get better. And I'm not just talking about what's been happening in the last few days. You can look at the world today. The world is out of control. And I don't care if you're in America, you're in Kenya, marriages are out of control. Young people are being destroyed. Thank God for the word that Pastor Scott brought to the ministry in Kenya when the missions team came back. I know when the team came back, there was such a burden that they had for our youth. And Pastor Scott, he challenged myself and Forbes. He said, we're gonna lose a generation in Kenya. We're not gonna have any youth in Kenya unless we begin to really address this issue. And within a couple of weeks, we had a pastor's conference. We hit our pastors squarely between the eyes in these areas. And we've seen some good results from that, man. Just because look at the youth today. And I don't care if it's in America or if it's in Kenya. The youth are the lost generation. And they're the lost generations because their parents are not doing the Word of God. And this is what we've been challenging our pastors in. So just continue to pray for the ministry over there. There are steps that are being taken, but it's not easy. Isn't it funny how Satan wants to fight for the youth? And how Satan wants to fight for the children? And so we need to be careful even here as well. Just don't lose the vision for the godly seed. Don't lose the vision for the next generation. These are not just words that are being spoken. It's the hour that we're living in. And if we don't take heed in these areas, we're not going to have another generation. And that's a word that we're bringing to our pastors. They face enormous challenges, but the majority of our pastors, they want to do the Word of God. They want to get these areas working. And again, we're trying to help them, vocational training, a lot of different things that are taking place. So just to let you know, everything that's being done is because of your support. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about praying and again, the example that you are, and again, the gift that we have in Pastor Scott and these other pastors and what they are giving into our lives and what we're giving into the men over there. It's a great miracle that God is doing to see people that have a heart for God, and just to continue to pray for them, okay? Amen? Just continue to pray for them as they're praying for you, because the days are not getting better and the challenges are growing greater. But He said there's greater grace, amen? Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound, praise God. Father, thank You and praise You for Your word this evening. And Lord, again, we just thank You for what You're doing in Kenya. We thank You for faithful men and women, and Father, churches that are being raised up in this hour that are anchored upon the rock and they have a sure foundation. And Father, we just pray that You would just continue to work and make our pastors stronger, Lord, because we know as they get stronger, the churches are going to get stronger as well. Father, we pray that in the midst of trial and tribulation and poverty and all of these things, that Father, your people will be looking up, that they will be looking to you as their source, and they will find that by faith, you will provide. By faith, Lord, you will watch over and you will protect and you will raise up, Lord Jesus, in this hour. Father, thank you for the ministry here. Thank you for, again, the vision of Pastor Scott. Thank you for faithful men, the faithful pastors that we have in this ministry. Lord, we don't want to take anything for granted. The gifts that we have, that we would treasure them and we would see truly how precious they are. They are gifts from you to take care of us, Lord. Father, thank you for that, Lord, and we just give you the glory now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. God bless you. Go in peace.